blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 369, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How pleasant and how good it is when brethren in the Lord in one another's joy delight and dwell in sweet accord. 1, 2, and 3 of 369.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first epistle general of John. John chapter 3. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us yet read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, long-suffering, most just, but also merciful and gracious God, we have heard out of thy eternal word that thou art without sin. Oh, we cannot imagine what that is, to be without sin. And yet we were created so, and thy church will be made so forever and forever. And Lord, then it is their desire, oh, and even by moments, to leave this world and to lay down that body of sin and death, that they may be perfected in that great and glorious state, to be without sin. O Lord, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, we are full of sin. It is from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, are we then not suitable for thee, the Savior of sinners? And when we come in this afternoon hour in thy house, oh, is there not a great suitability between the dead and him that is able to raise us from the dead? For we do believe in the Holy Ghost. O Lord, come thou with thy Holy Spirit, and wilt thou raise us from that death of sin, and wilt thou give to us that life that endures and that goes on forever and ever, in a blessed purity, in a walking before the true God, forever and eternally, without spot or without wrinkle. O Lord, is there not so much work for thee here in this house, in this afternoon hour? Oh, then it can begin with the minister. For Lord, thou knowest our heart and all that is within and that needs to be cleansed and to be washed and to be forgiven. Oh Lord, look upon us then as a congregation. Oh, that thou would forgive all of our iniquities. Oh, we are here laying, as sitting, standing before thee. Oh, thou hast, as that greater Joseph, prepared a great food in the famine of the land. Oh, and we are those who are without spiritual meat and drink, except it be given to us from above. Oh, Lord, there is so much work here for thee to do. Come then, thou most blessed Spirit, in the midst of us, and grant that the power that is of thee alone to give us life from the dead and hungering and thirsting in our poor souls that may be made, that may be experienced in the heart of both young and old in this afternoon hour. Oh, give us to know what our iniquities are. Oh, give us to know our sin and all of our transgressions, that we may come in true repentance before Thee. Oh, that we may come laboring for that life and that Thou art able to give from the dead, and unable to give it to ourselves, but Thou hast said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Oh, hast thou not said, look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth? For I am God, and there is none else. If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. Oh, Lord, could it be in this afternoon hour, and that such hungering and thirsting souls may be given a moment to look unto Thee, or that we may be given to see the Son of Man in that great love wherewith He has loved His church. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He has laid down His life for us. Oh, Lord, could it be that we may rejoice in that love, and that we may be given also to be ready to lay down our life for the brethren, for Thy church, for our fellow man, and to live in true love and unity with one another. Oh, that that Spirit of God might dwell among us, when we may live heart to heart in love, and that Thou wouldest give Thy Spirit among us, and give us to dwell in heart unity in confession of our own sin, in the condemnation of ourselves, in the humbling of ourselves before Thee and one another. Oh, that we may be blessed with Thy Spirit, that it may be poured out among us in great measure. Oh, look upon us, Lord, God of heaven and of earth, and God of the covenant, God of Thy church, God of Thy people, who art building Thy church. Oh, may it be also of us and of our dear children. All do remember those that are in need. Remember our own daughter-in-law in all her needs in these days, in these hours. And wilt Thou give that Thou mayest give a child to be born, to be born again? And wilt Thou watch over her and the child to gather in Thy mercy? O Lord, look upon all those that need Thee. Him that has to receive surgery in the day of tomorrow, be Thou on his right and on his left. Give him calmness in his heart, in his soul. O give him to look upon to Thee, from whom all his help must come. And also those that do receive treatments for serious diseases. Lord, Thou knowest where they are and what they feel and what they fear from day to day and from hour to hour. Oh, be on their right and on their left. Give them a cry to Thee, not only for the medications that they may be effective, but also for their poor souls. Oh, Lord, prepare us all of us in all the callings that come unto us day by day, to stand before Thy judgment seat. Look Thou upon our youth and upon our children. Oh, give them to feel that they are also born to die, and that we have here no continuing city, because the callings, they have been coming also unto them so loudly in the time that has so shortly gone by. Oh, look Thou, Lord, upon all those that mourn. Thou knowest each and every one, those that have laid a dear child in the grave, their own flesh, their own daughter. Oh, Lord, be on their right and on their left, and all those that do miss from day to day their loved ones. Wilt Thou care for all the needy, all the sick, all that have sorrows, all that have no children? all those that have other burdens that are laid upon them to bear. Oh, could it be for the sake of their soul's good? Oh, look upon all those that are chastened. Oh, could it be of thee, chastened, that they may be sons and that they may be daughters of thee, and not cast away from thee, or that we may be instructed thereby. And because this life is short, and we have each one to stand before thee soon at that great judgment seat, Lord, remember us in this hour. Once again, oh, we are called to bring a little portion of thy holy law. Oh, it is a blessed law. Thy servant did say, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, then he desired to live according to it. Oh, he could not fulfill it, but it is fulfilled in thy dear and only begotten Son. And thy church desires and looks forward to the complete fulfillment also in their own heart and life. Oh, that our hearts might smite us in this hour, that we might smite our breasts, and that thou, who hast smitten thine only begotten Son, may apply that blood that is poured forth from him unto the hearts of each and every one and that are stricken in our midst. Oh, look upon us, Lord, in thy mercy, with thy blessing, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 145, stanzas 1 through 5. O mighty man, why wilt thou boast thyself in hateful cruelty, when God Almighty is most kind and ever merciful is he? 1 through 5 of Psalter 145.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, we read in Acts chapter 27, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. That was an act of desperation. That ship was caught in a tempestuous wind, we would say a whirlwind. And if we know a little bit what it means to be out on the sea, in a boat, in a ship, and then a tempestuous wind is a very, very dangerous thing. We read that they were afraid and that ship was going to break apart, and that they undergirded the ship, and then they have taken ropes and cables and put them underneath and tied them together so that ship would not fall apart. We read they had much work to come by the boat. What is the boat? That was that small vessel that they would use to come between the ship and the land. And when they would anchor the ship, then that boat would get them to that land. And now they feared. They feared when they would lose that ship, that they would also lose that boat. And so they have taken that boat with them up into that ship that has cost them much labor in order to come by that boat. Then we read that they feared that they were going to fall into the quicksands. And so they have quickly hoisted up those sails once again that they had taken down and because of the tumultuous winds. And they are trying as quickly as possible that they can get away from the land, that they are not falling into those quicksands. All the next day, things are not any better. Then we can read that they lighten the ship. What have they done? Well, they have taken all the wares that they had in that ship, and they were bringing them to another place. Well, they have thrown them all overboard, because they did not want that ship to sit so low in the water. Another day, another tumultuous night. And then we read something that is even more severe than the apostle says. Then we took our own hands, and we have used our hands to throw overboard from that ship the very tackling that is the most necessary things that we would say were in those ship, in that ship, for their safety. And so we see, congregation, an order. It is a very natural order. And those sailors did not go to school to learn this, but it was something that was within their very being. It was something that was in their very nature. It is something that God himself teaches unto his creature. An order. What is that order? Well, first, the things that are the least necessary. And then slowly, that is going on to the things that are actually most dear to them. And so one by one until there is nothing that is spared anymore. Oh, there are so many things that are dear to us in our life. What is dear to you in your life, young people? Say, maybe children, I have a nice bicycle. Or young people, I have a nice car. Or parents, we have a nice house, or we have a nice business. It's all dear to us. But there is nothing that is so dear to us as our life. That is why Satan, he has said, skin for skin. All that a man hath, eventually, when it comes to it, will he give for his life. That is not just one person in the world. That is not just some people in the world. That is every one of us. That is common to mankind. That is that law of self-preservation that the Lord has put within our very being. And now the Lord, after he has established his and asserted his own institution of authority in the midst of this world, that is in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, the Lord proceeds. He proceeds to what are the objects of that authority. Thus, how is it that men are required to live together in the midst of this world? And what will men be held accountable for in regard to his fellow man as he is traveling through this world? And where does the Lord begin? The Lord begins with that thing that is the most precious to each and every person in this whole world. His most precious possession. And what is that? That is his life. That is his life. And so God came to Cain, and he said to him, where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And in essence, the Lord says, yes, Cain, you and all the rest of us are the keepers of our brothers, of our brethren, of humanity, of our fellow man. That is what we wish to consider in this afternoon out of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 40, which speaks of God's law, the sixth commandment concerning life, namely, thou shalt not kill. Question and answer 105. What doth God require in the sixth commandment? That neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. Also, that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. Question and answer 106. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and the desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. Question and answer 107. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves and to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. So far, our Lord's Day. God's law, the sixth commandment concerning life. First, the essence of this commandment. Second, the outward demands of this commandment. And third, the inward demands of this commandment. God's law, the sixth commandment concerning life. First, the essence. Second, the outward demands. And third, the inward demands of this commandment. Thou shalt not kill. The sixth commandment. Not very many words. Also, not very hard to understand. And yet, congregation, it is full of obligations that are not carried out by mankind. What is the basis? What is the foundation of the obligations that are in this commandment? That lies in the fact that you and I were all created by God. That lies in the fact that we are a creature of God. That means that we are His and that we are not our own. And what does that mean? That we are not free just to do with ourselves, with our life, with our health, with our body, with our soul. We are not free to do just what we wish. That is not with ourselves. That is not also with one another. That is not even with our own children. That means that we are subject to God. In this, that His will is above the will of each and every one of us, and that is regarding every single person, all mankind that are here on earth. Does not the apostle say, know ye not that ye are not your own? That is true of the church, of course, that they are not their own. That is because they are Christ's, because they have been bought by Him. But that is true for another reason of every person here below, that he is not his own. And why? Because he is a creature of God. That's life that lives, that moves, and that has a being. That is a very special part of the creation of God. That is something that is not able to be imitated by mankind in this world. Young people, you see much today about robots, even those that appear to look, they have the stature even of a human being. They are given an artificial intelligence. They have never and they will never be able to give life unto such a machine. It is impossible for man to make even a single cell to become alive. That is what scientists would like to do, because man reaches, as it were, to the place of God Himself, who is the author of life. Ah, that He would be God and not able also just to make a machine, but even to make a living creature. Ah, there has nothing changed. From that time that Satan has come to our first parents and has tempted them with the ability to be as God Himself. Thus life that is given to man, that is very, very special, that is more even than the creation of mountains and of hills and of soil and of minerals and of the atmosphere and the stars and so on. This is the greatest part of that creation of God, and therefore life, that is to be dealt with awe. With awe. That is by every man here below. It is to be dealt with in the fear of God, who has created every being and given to it life and given to it breath in his nostrils. But now the life of man is especially sacrosanct. What does that mean? That means it is especially holy. The life of mankind is especially set apart. It is especially distinguished from all the rest of that creation. Why? What did the Lord say when he would destroy the first world? Then the Lord says, because that world is full of violence. Violence. So man was destroying himself. He was destroying one another. And after that Noah came forth of that ark, then the Lord spoke to Noah about just that violence, that murder that was taking place before that flood came. And the Lord said that whosoever will shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Thus the Lord would, as it were, correct man, tell to him the reason that that world was punished, that was taken away because of the violence in the earth. And then the Lord also gave a reason. Why is it that whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed? The reason is, he says, for in the image of God made he him. Thus it is the fact that man was created in that image of God, that God has put a wall, that God has put a fence, as it were, around mankind, that the Lord is especially protecting mankind with this first object of his authority given to man, by saying, in the first place, thou shalt not kill. Man is a rational creature. Man is a moral creature. As God is rational, as God is also moral, man is also made with the ability to worship God. That is not an ability that lies in an animal. That is not an ability that lies in plant life. Although we read that all nature praises God, but that is not an animal in himself cannot do that. It is the praise that comes forth from men by virtue of all the creation, especially that is given life. All that nature is praising God in man. An animal may never be abused, but an animal may be eaten, because those animals have been given unto man, especially after the flood, for the food of man. Thus this commandment, thou shalt not kill, is not, as some would like to say, about the animals also. No, actually the word is murder. It says, thou shalt do no murder. And that word in the Hebrew is only used concerning mankind. It is never used concerning the animals. Thus, the sixth commandment, what is that? The sixth commandment is an obligation unto mankind regarding the very high regard that we are obligated to have for the life of man. That is because of the height of his creation. That is because he is created in the image of God. God himself, that is after the fall, did not throw away, did not cast away his creature. That is his fallen creature, his evil creature, his rebellious creature. He did not cast him away. What did he do? He sent his son. He sent his son to redeem mankind, which is a testimony of the value that the Lord has placed upon mankind, that he did not simply destroy him, but that he is going to deliver that crown of his creation by the deeds of his only begotten son. There is not a sinner in the whole world that lacks value. When you see a man who is laying in the gutter, when you see a man who is sleeping out there in the streets, who is drunken, who is intoxicated, who is under the influence of Satan's drugs, that man has value. We may never despise a person. Each and every one of them is made in the image of God. Also, those who are not yet born. You say, and that's why it is so necessary that we teach and that the soul comes in the child at conception. Is that right? No. No. We don't know that, whether the soul comes at conception or whether the soul comes later. That womb is a place of God. It is a place that the Spirit of God is working to make a person a human person. And it is not necessary for us to uphold the stance against abortion, that we must argue that that soul, that is already a person, that it has a soul. No. It does not matter if that has a soul or not. This is the work of God. This is untouchable. It is life. It is that which God is working to bring into a human being. And therefore it is protected. It is protected by God himself in the sixth commandment, which says, thou shalt not kill. Abortion is murder. That is, those who agree to it and those who do it are congregation murderers. Murderers. Will you remember that, girls? That you would never be convinced by anyone in this world who is looking so lightly upon the value of the life of man, that you would do such a deed. Can that be forgiven? Oh, yes, it can be forgiven. Because also murder can be forgiven. Oh, that was what that thief had done too. And the Lord forgave him. But how only can that be forgiven? Only in the way of true repentance. But the Lord is going to judge the nations wherein we live for the violence that is done even within the wombs of the mothers of our children. And congregation, we are especially vulnerable. And why? Or will you think of this? That child that is not yet born is an elect of God. That could be. And the Lord says, he that touches you, that is my people, you touch the apple of my eye. Oh, how then have we to stand at awe with all that life that God has given in the midst of this world? And that brings us to our second thought, the outward demands of this commandment. Our Father speaking about wounding or killing my neighbor by myself or by another. Wounding comes before killing. That has to come first. That is the beginning of murder. And we can read also that there are degrees in sin. Not every sin is the same. There are degrees of punishment because there are degrees of sin. And so we read here also about wounding. And our fathers say that these things are accounted by God as murder. But those things, that wounding is a lesser sin than actual murder. As is also killing, they say, by another. That is to be involved. That is to be an instrument. Though our hands are not touching Naboth, yet Ahab and Jezebel are called into account for this murder. That I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. What does Christ say? He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thus, that is the standard, that is the love that we must have for ourselves. That is assuming self-love. To kill myself is suicide. Euthanasia is murder. Like Ahithophel, like Judas. What does it do? What is the evil? It despises life. The great gift of God, that highest gift of God, it is despising that life. But congregation, there is also more. What is it? That is to despair of hope. It is to despair of hope. And especially in our day, in the light of the gospel, this is a great sin. When a man says with Cain, my sin is greater than that it can be forgiven. But what does the Lord say? The Lord says that he is ready to forgive the chiefest of the sinners, that a man cannot sin so deeply that grace, that free and sovereign grace, is not able to wash him off, and that all his iniquities can be forgiven, and that he can be brought again into that blessed favor of God. Oh, to take my own life, that is to sin against the law, That is to sin against the gospel. Every voice, every suggestion, young people, that is in the heart of a boy, of a girl, of a man or of a woman to do such a thing is straight from hell. That is never from God. You say, what happens to a man who takes his own life? Are they then lost? Well, congregation, what happens to any man who dies in his sin? If we will be saved, it can only be through the way of repentance. When a person takes his own life, he dies in his sin. Unless, of course, that person does not die immediately. And unless, of course, the Lord gave him true repentance between that time and the time of his actual death. What can we say? God is God. We cannot enter there, can we? The salvation of a soul. You know how long that takes? It takes just as long as your sin, children. One moment. One moment. And the Lord is so free. But if we die in our sin, then a man is lost. And that is now the great danger that is lying upon those who are making attempts at their own life. Oh, young people, the devil is so desirous to have you where he is. And if you will take your own precious gift given to you by God, and in all your troubles and in all your miseries and in all your despair, if you will not believe that word of God who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then we will forever bring ourselves, as according to the desire of the devil, into that eternal pit. And now our Father's mention also here, willfully exposing ourselves to any danger. That is, of course, unnecessarily, because sometimes we must, right? Sometimes that is a right thing. When David exposed himself to the sword of Goliath, that was very, very dangerous. But he did that for a right cause. Then our fathers speak here about these dangerous thrills that man is doing in this world and placing himself for the purpose of pleasure in willful dangers. Oh, young people, life is not a game. Life is very, very serious. When we go out of this life, we have to stand before God and we have to come unto him into judgment. What can we expect? If we have taken that most precious gift of God and we have dared God with it, and then he has taken away our life. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, Ahab dared to go down to that vineyard of Naboth to possess it. So how did he dare? What was now laying on the conscience of that man? David dared, even to, when that time of mourning was ended, to take Bathsheba and say, "Oh David, how now do you dare?" That is congregation man, even God's church man. One moment that the Lord leaves us to ourselves, and then what is in our heart comes out. But God sees it all. And then there are two things that can happen. That is that we have to pay for our sin, or that that sin is laid to the account of that blessed Son of God. Let us sing for a moment. 99:1-3. The wicked, watching for his prey, desire the righteous man to slay. But God is on his side. 1:3 of Psalter 99. God's law, the sixth commandment concerning life. First, the essence. Second, the outward deeds. Third, the outward demands. Third, the inward demands of this commandment. What doth God require in the sixth commandment? That neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. Thus our fathers speak about the causes of murder. That congregation is very important. Even judges in the world who fear not God respect the difference between murder, for example, and manslaughter, and the different degrees of these wrongs. That is, all of this is lying in intention. That is all lying in what is living in the heart. What a person wants and intends to do. Thus, the guilt of negligence is not the same as the guilt of premeditation. So to kill someone by an accident, that is not murder. And yet we can still be guilty of neglect. That is the neglect, for example, of the rules of the road, that we were not driving safely. To kill in a righteous war is also not murder. There are many wars that the Lord has commanded in the Bible in order to further his own work in the world and to judge those who were transgressors against him by way of war. Thus, pacifism, that is the idea that we may not go to war, does not at all find its grounds in the Holy Scriptures. Self-defense or defending someone else is also not murder. That is what makes a war to be righteous. David did not murder Goliath. Moses says if a man be found breaking up and he be slain, then there shall no blood be shed for him. Thus the person who slew him is not guilty. For magistrates to put a murderer to death is not murder by the magistrate, as some would make it. And why? It is because of their intent. That is the reason that they are, the Bible says, armed with the sword. That is in itself to prevent murder. That is with the threat of death for that sin. The apostle says, Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. He says, but rather give place unto wrath, for vengeance belongeth unto God. God says, I will repay. But how? Because on the earth, the Lord is using the magistrate as the means in his hand, commanding them to put murderers to death. We read, Paul says, he bears not that sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So he is God's minister. He is God's hand to execute the wrath of God against this sin. Moses says, "Ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer." No satisfaction, that is, should not be satisfied with anything else than that murderer is put to death. That was not just merely a ceremonial law, because it existed before the ceremonies did. It existed before the nation of Israel was even established as a nation, that has existed even, as we have mentioned, from the time of the flood. What did the Lord say? He says, "Blood defileth the land," and that land cannot be cleansed. It defiles the land. It makes the land polluted. It makes the people in the land guilty. And he says there is no way that that land can be cleansed except with the blood of that murderer. Thus, his life must be taken away to cleanse that land of its guilt and of the pollution that is in that land. But now, to put that murderer to death, the Lord has also said that the bar, we would say, of proof that must be given that he is a murderer, that has to be very high. We cannot just do that because one person says he murdered. No, not by the mouth of one witness, but the mouth of two or three witnesses. Thus, it is right for our government to put to death the murderer. But that government, that justice system, must have a very strict and a high bar that it has to meet of proof before that they will take away the life of a man, that is to be as sure as possible that they are not making a mistake. That is, with that life that God has given unto men. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and the desire of revenge, and that he counts all these as murder. That is, congregation, where murder begins. Not with the deed. No, it begins before the deed. What does Christ say? He says, out of the heart proceeds murder. Envy being the very beginning of that. Oh, are we guilty of envy? Are we always okay? Every moment. To be the poorest. Is it just always okay, young people, that you have a vehicle that is not as nice as everyone else's? Is that always okay with you? Is it always okay with you, girls, that in your mind you think that you are not quite as pretty as all the other girls? Is that okay? Or are you envious? Or do you say, I wish I was like that? Or that I had what that person has? That is now the very beginning of murder. You know where that is living? Living in our hearts. That is to not agree. To be who and to look like who God has made me to be and what God has made me to look like. Envy, hatred. Esau hated his brother Jacob. Why? For the blessing wherewith his father Isaac had blessed him. He hated him. Why did he hate him? He was envious. Envious at the blessing that his brother had. Thus we see these steps. And then what came in his heart? What did he say? There's envy, then there's hatred, and then he says, I will slay him. Soon as my father and mother are dead, then I'm going to kill him. Envy, hatred, all, it never happened. Thus he was guilty of the lesser sin because it just lived in his heart. Oh, it is such a blessing if the Lord comes in between and does not allow us to carry out the wickedness that lives in our heart. John says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Envy, hatred, anger. What is that? Anger. That's a feeling. That is an emotion that lives within our heart. Displeasure, certain hostility against another person. And this anger exists, congregation, in degrees. Or we can be a little irritated. Or we can be frustrated. And that can develop into anger. And that can develop into rage, into fury. Thus, frustration. You ever frustrated? And did you ever ask yourself why? What is going on in my heart? Do you know what frustration is? That is just a little bit of anger. Most often against God Himself. Because it does not go how I want it to go. Nor is going how God wants it to go. And I don't agree. Frustration. That can be how long sin take. What did we say? Just like that, right? A moment. You're going to drive a nail, young people, carpenter, into a board, and it keeps bending. You're frustrated. And you drive in your car, and it's always, the light is red, and I need to go. Cars in the way, there is traffic, and there is frustration. What is frustration? Ah, that is against the providence of God. That is that I do not receive everything, my whole life, every single moment, just at the hand of God, as if I should control the world. And that the Lord should submit unto me and to my will. And then a little bit of anger against God Himself. All that lives, congregation, in our hearts. Solomon says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Anger often goes before those sinful deeds and sometimes very violent deeds. James says, be slow to wrath. And still, not all anger is sinful. God himself is said to be angry at the wicked every day. We read of Christ that he has looked about himself at those scribes and at those Pharisees in anger. Thus there was a righteous anger. Thus there is a righteous anger. We have to be so careful, because we say, I was righteously angry, but our hearts are so full of sin along with it. And yet, there is a righteous anger that can live in the heart of a man. And that is not only an anger that can live there, but there is an anger that is also required of us. Required of us. That is not murder. Eli was punished by the Lord because he did not get angry at his own sons, wicked sons, and he put them above the Lord. And kept them in that temple of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, when he should have been angry at them, and he should have cast them out. We read of Phinehas, he took a sword, a dagger in his hand, and he thrust through the wicked, and the Lord commended him, and the Lord rewarded him for the anger that was in his heart against the sin of mankind. Yes, indeed, it is not even only at the sin, is it? No, we are not angry at sin only, but it is a person. We love the sin. We love the sinner. We hate the sin. But anger is actually directed against the sinner. The Lord does so. And we must do so for his good. On the other hand, we read in the Bible that we must not let the sun go down upon our wrath. Thus there is a purpose, there is a reason that the Lord has given anger in the heart of a man. That is a purpose. That is to prevent sin. That is when I am attacked and I get angry, or someone else is attacked and I get angry, that is to prevent the harm. But as soon as that anger has done its work, then the Lord says, let not that sun go down upon your wrath, because very soon the devil will take advantage of it. He says, lest we give place unto the devil. Thus the Bible does not say, and Christ does not say, whosoever is angry at his brother is in danger of the judgment. It's not what it says. It says, whosoever is angry at his brother without cause is in danger of the judgment. Thus, it is all lying in the cause. It is all lying in the reason. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves and to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Thus, every commandment that forbids also requires. Thus, refraining from harm, that's not enough. No, the Lord says, in His commandments, we also have a positive duty. That there is something not only that we have to not do, but there is something that we have to do. Hatred is forbidden as a cause of murder. But the Lord says love is required as a cause of preserving the life of mankind. Oh, that life, that great gift that God has given unto mankind, created in His image. The Lord would preserve that mankind in this world by love. It begins with love to myself. Ah, you say, I do not understand that. But it is true. And as we love ourselves, because as we ought to love ourselves in a right way, then so we also ought to love and deal with our neighbor. Love, that is the sum of the law of God. And it is required toward our fellow man, not because he is so good, not because he is so loving to me. No, but I am required to love him because he is my fellow man, because he is made by God, and because that life that God has given unto him is a very valuable thing. We have not to give an account to each other for this. We have an account to give to God for this, because He is the one that is commanding this of us. That we love our neighbor as ourself. That includes warning our neighbor. Warning. Say, is that love? Yes. Do it in love. Do it with a heart that desires the welfare, just like fathers and mothers, we do that with our children. But we do that carefully. We do that in all tenderness, with a view for their physical, with a view for their spiritual welfare. So are we also to do, to each and every one of our fellow men in this world. And then not only love to their bodies, but also to love to their souls. Oh, let us place ourselves in the position of all those persons who are in this world who have not the knowledge of God, who have not the knowledge of His Word. Oh, where can we go, congregation, with our guilt when we see this sixth commandment? That love that we are required to have. I have a picture of that in God's Word, boys and girls, so you can go home and read that. You know what it is, right? That is that parable of the Good Samaritan. And I don't think it needs any explanation, does it? Just read it. Doesn't need to be explained. No, it needs to be considered. It needs to be meditated on. Will we do that? The Lord says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Congregation, thou shalt not kill. Oh, how guilty are we? Or who can put his hand in his bosom and not take that out leprous? And not only that, but does now that law that lay out to us what is that most blessed life? Oh, that life that we have forfeited, that life that we have left in our deep fall. Oh, then you say, what has the world become? That is full of hatred, that is full of anger, that is full of violence in the world. And now to say, oh, what would that be if there were now a world that was full of love? A world that was full of peace. A world that was full of men, of women, of boys and of girls that did love one another. Oh, the Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Just like Moses, the meekest man, and even Christ himself. Oh, let us seek, congregation, the forgiveness of all of our sin, but also that blessed life. Oh, the Lord says, the wolf that shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard that shall lie down with the kid. Oh, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Oh God, make us partakers of that life, inwardly, outwardly, by beginning, and also eternally, through his only begotten Son. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou forgive, forgive, forgive all that is amiss within us, without us, and give us that true love for thee in the first place, and for our neighbor as ourself. O convert us and teach us. Bring us safely home. Care for all that need thy care in special ways. And wilt thou give us to keep thy day holy. Bring us with desire also in this week to commemorate thy ascension into heaven. Do give thy word to go forth with power over the length and breadth of this whole world. For Jesus' sake, amen. 305, 1 through 5. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward, and blessings all their days shall fill. 1 through 5 of 305. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.